I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
This is it. The part of your week where you get to put your headphones on, relax, and listen to a bunch of geeks geek out about geeky things. They're passionate.
Did you know Magic Mike XXL is actually on the top 25 list of this year's best movie?
They're witty.
He loves him some Katy Perry because she kissed a girl and she liked it.
They're crazy.
I like Nickelback personally, but, you know, I'm the fuddy-duddy who likes episode one.
And sometimes I leave you wondering, what the f***?
I'm pretty sure that here we were starting the hashtag movement, bring back Slave Feral.
Gunna Geek Productions presents the official GunnaGeek.com show.
Hello and welcome to episode 181 of the official GunnaGeek.com show. My name is Stephen Jondrew, and with me today is, of course, the mighty Chris Farrell.
We're here to get schwifty, right?
We are indeed. We're going to get schwifty with Stargate Pioneer.
Golden Stargate Pioneer. Golden Stargate Pioneer. Look, it wasn't me that came up with the name. Somebody else that has been in the podsphere for a very long time called me Golden Stargate Pioneer. So I am Golden Stargate Pioneer. Get it right, Steven.
You are the golden pioneer of Stargates. Like, you know, like if you were to vision a bunch of different Stargates, like, you know, the big round Stargates, you would see a red and a blue and a green and a gold, and you would be in it.
Can we make him, can we make you wear a gold medal from this point on every podcast show?
It was red and yellow and pink, and stop singing because that's a Broadway song.
I'm sure I, you know what?
That's why
I
will we want look you to stop singing. Yeah.
For a Stargate necklace, and that will be my gold medal.
All right. Fair enough. No, if you are checking us out for the first time, you have reached the official GunnaGeek.com show. Here's where we talk a bunch of geeky, crazy happenings. And we do have an audio show and a video show. So if you are watching us live on YouTube, we do stream that live at geeks.live. You are seeing our ugly mugs. But if you are listening to us in the car, you are missing our beautiful faces. So please check out the opposite and tell us which you like better by giving us a call at 567-343-GEEK, or just get in touch with us any of the other ways that are listed at GunnaGeek.com. Today we got a bunch of crazy topics, including Europe is hunting. Is it the final countdown? Yeah, see what I did there. We're going to talk a little bit about how your phone might be bricked, and also about how there might be a bit of Nintendo classic fiasco emerging. Of course, it wouldn't be a Steven's Geeky Stuff if I didn't talk about something geeky, because that's a segment that I got towards the end of the show. But before we get there, let's take a moment here to tell everybody about how, if you are checking us out for the first time, we are part of a wonderful network called the Gunna Geek Network. And also on the Gunna Geek Network is this show that is called Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, in the latest episode of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., they talked about the latest edition of the Marvel television show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know, shocking. There are some crazy twists and turns in that episode, including the fact that one of the co-hosts of the very Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. program might be a life model decoy, an LMD. So you should find out all about that in the latest edition of the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Now let's just go ahead and do our news. Here we go. Yes, indeed. Europe is hunting. They are planet hunting. Like, they've got their shotguns out and ready to hunt Mars. Isn't that right, SP?
Well, it's more like they're training to go. Matter of fact, it's more like they're building the gun to train to go hunt. Well, what we're talking about is the European Space Administration is going to launch a planet hunting space telescope. If you've listened to GunnaGeek.com network show before, you will know that we've been talking a lot about space telescopes over the past year or so. And planet hunting space telescopes are part of that. We've talked about the Kepler before. We've talked about the Hubble before. We've talked about upcoming missions like the James Webb Space Telescope, which will all be involved in planet hunting. Well, the European Space Agency is also going to be involved in planet hunting, but not until 2024. They've announced that they will launch the PLATO probe, P-L-A-T-O, which stands for Planetary Transits and Oscillations of Stars, which to me sounds pretty familiar because it's basically what the Hubble and what Kepler did along the way. So it will determine how big a planet's radiate are, or, you know, what's the diameter of the planet. They will verify the mass of the planets from ground-based observatories. They will use astroseismology, or basically star quakes, to learn about a star's mass, radius, and age, and identify bright targets for atmospheric spectroscopy, along with other telescopes. So it'll be a combined effort with other types of observatories. If all goes to plan, the mission should be able to provide detailed information on hundreds of rocky, and probably thousands of rocky and giant planets, providing more information about how solar systems generally form. Now, PLATO's primary mission is expected to last 4 years, but the telescope is designed to last 6.5 years, and its consumables such as fuel, and I'm assuming snacks, because you like you need something, maybe tea too, if the Brits are involved, I don't know, is expected to last about 8 years. As you might expect, PLATO is named after the ancient Greek philosopher Plato, and the mission for the PLATO telescope was first proposed in 2007 when the ESA put out its call for Cosmic Vision 2015 to 2025. There were three telescopes that were actually won the competition, basically Solar Observer and Euclid. That the second one is a mission to investigate dark energy and dark matter. I like dark matter because there's like a sci-fi show called Dark Matter, and I really enjoy that. It's really cool. And along with PLATO, we're selected as the three finalists for the Cosmic Vision missions from ESA, which is all good. Now, you might be asking yourself, where are they going to park this thing? Is it going to be in low Earth orbit? Are they going to attach it to the International Space Station? Are they going to fly it to Mars? Well, turns out it's going to go in a relatively known quantity of space called the L2 Lagrange point. And if you had been listening to GunnaGeek.com show, and when we talked about the Kepler, when we talked about the James Webb, and Stephen, you're just bursting at the seams, so go ahead.
I know this one. It's crazy. You talked about it on SP Space Symposium.
Which you can find at snasa.space.
Exactly. So this keeps on coming. And of course, the WMAP, which we recently talked about, is parked there too. And what the L2 Lagrange point is, it's a stable orbital place, basically, in between the moon and the Earth. Now, it's not in between it, but it's in a space that the gravitational pulls from the two astral bodies won't exactly pull or anything. So it'll have 24 normal cameras on board, which I think Mike, JPEG Tarot in the chat would love to know. And they're offset at a 9.2 degree angle. And what it will do is basically what Kepler did in its ability to look at planets where you have stars and planets that are passing in front of the stars. So the twinkle will say, hey, look, we need to see what's going on there. Why was there a twinkle? Because there shouldn't be in space. And just let Kepler find it. So there you go. We've got a new Planet Hunter spacecraft in addition to the James Webb Space Telescope that will be launched in 2024.
So in the chat, we have a very, very captivated audience, and we have one member named Dane saying, will PLATO look at Pluto? And then we have another person saying, will PLATO look at Pluto while the operator is playing with PLATO?
As long as the PLATO is shaped like Pluto, I think we're all good. And oh, by the way, Pluto, not a dwarf planet, not a protoplanet, a real planet. I'm sticking with that. That's what I learned in school, guys, and they're not going to teach me anything else because I've already graduated. They gave me the diploma. Therefore, it's true.
You know, there was a lot of contractors that learned that asbestos was a wonderful thing. Doesn't mean they're still preaching it.
Well, maybe there's asbestos on Pluto.
Pluto is made of asbestos. That's why we don't talk about it anymore.
I see now. It's all a conspiracy theory. I got you now. Well, thank you for
everything. Everything with space is a conspiracy theory.
That's true. You know, it's not one thing, it's another. And the other is SP holding back secrets. Audio listeners, he's holding his mouth now. But let's go ahead and talk our next news point, which is going to be all about how you might intentionally brick your phone. What? Yeah, that's right. Apparently, the wonderful brick phone is said to be making a reappearance. If you may be familiar with a wonderful time called the early 2000s, there was a phone called the Nokia 3310. You saw this phone everywhere. Just go Google it. The Nokia 3310. You really did see it everywhere. And the rumor is that Nokia is looking to bring it back because there is a resurgence of people looking for dumb phones. And of course, the Nokia, it was called a brick phone, and it really was like a brick. It just did everything and then never broke. Nokia, the Nokia brick phones, they really lasted a long time. I know mine, it had removable shells and everything, and I just would switch those out if they got worn. And aside from that, it continued to work and work and work. So yeah, Nokia is rumored to be releasing this later this year, and that's got a lot of people wondering, is this going to be a big market now? Is it going to be something that we got to put out our smartphones, but we also got to make sure to put out our basic dumb phones? Now, when I saw this, I thought of actually Albert Sims, because Albert Sims is a longtime listener and viewer of the show, and he usually just checks us out live at Geeks Out Live, and he's talked about how he has his non-smartphone that he uses quite comfortably. And I actually also know of, I've got a friend who was saying that he was thinking about getting rid of his smartphone the next time because he's just tired of paying for the extra price and everything. And so he might just go back to having just a phone. So this very interesting to me that it looks like the Nokia brick is coming on back. SP, I know that you are very unsatisfied with Apple. You going to go to this?
I just might, as long as they have a 3.5 millimeter audio jack.
Pretty sure the 33, I don't know. I don't think the 3310 did music.
I don't think it did either.
No, I'm pretty sure it didn't.
But it had an audio jack. Even if it was a 2.5 millimeter, I could hook into it.
I think that the Nokia actually, I'm pretty sure that it actually had the old prongy headphone one, the one that was the two prongs with the pin on the bottom.
I think it might have been that.
At least it would be a prong.
It could have been the real short headphone jack that just did one headphone and a mic. So it was supposed to be like a one earpiece / mic combo, if I remember. I don't know. I blame the hipsters for this. They're bringing back all this stuff that we never used to like. And now we've got Nokia phones back like this. Now, from a technology standpoint, it's kind of cool to see everyone realize, okay, maybe we don't all need smartphones. We can go back to the tried and true technology, you know, where you only have to charge your phone once a week versus once or twice a day, potentially, depending on how much you use it. I do work with some guys who said, I don't want a smartphone. One guy I work with has been holding on to his flip phone for probably 6 years now. And he goes, I don't want anything different. He goes, but if I go to upgrade at AT&T or get a new phone, there's nothing really left that's not smart. He goes, there's a few things that are, but they're all pieces of crap.
Okay, so I've dug it up here. I've got the spec sheet for you. The Nokia 3310 boasts a wonderful 245 hour various standby time. The talk time is approximately 2 hours and 30 minutes to 4 hours and 30 minutes, and it has a removable nickel metal hydride,
here.
It has a removable 900 milliamp hour NIMHA battery, and it does not have Java, but it does have 4 games, including Snake 2, Pairs 2, Space Impact, and one that I can't pronounce. It is capable of doing your wonderful SMS messages, and it has no wireless LAN, no Bluetooth, no GPS, no radio. But if you are looking for a 3.5 millimeter jack, you will have to look elsewhere, because this does not feature one of those, nor a loudspeaker. But don't worry, it has alert types of vibrations and downloadable monophonic ringtones. You've got 8 dialed call records and 8 received call records, as well as a SIM-only phone book. Now, the resolution is 5 lines, and it has dynamic font sizes, and it weighs approximately 133 grams. That's the Nokia 3310 coming to a store near you.
I'm excited, guys. I really am. You said the two words that made me care. Snake 2. I played so much Snake in high school because I was bored in class. You'd see half of us sneaking our cell phones under our desks or whatever and playing Snake 2. I miss that game. I wish I had it on my Android phone.
You know what we played in class? Photon. That was literally us taking an 8.5 by 11 sheet of notepaper and like drawing with our pencils, our number 2 leaded pencils, where the missiles were. Photon, 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 photon. That's what we did in class.
That's nicer than I was going to say. I was going to say discover fire.
Yeah, you know what? I had a TI, it was a TI 86 plus calculator. I had that thing loaded with games. There's a reason I dropped out of like math 12 or something.
I had the TI-89, and that helped me all the way through college when I found out it could differentiate and integrate by using one of the F2 functions on it. Plus, I had Zelda on it, and Drug Wars, and Tetris, and a few other games that were just wonderful.
Oh, man. Now we're just looking on back to the past. You ever play that mob game? What was it called? Mafia? It was amazing. That was awesome, but...
Wonderful.
I guess we talked about
it. I had slide rolls, and I liked them. And then when we get calculators, what did we put on it? Boobless. That's it. That's all I got. Slide rules and boobless.
Well, you did not grow up in the right time, because there was all sorts of games that you could think that you were being discreet about, but you were not being discreet. Everybody knew what you were doing. Although, now that I come to think about it, people probably say the same thing about us. It's like, what? You didn't have your Facebook in class? Blasphemy.
No, we had MySpace, Stephen.
Oh, man.
And kids aren't supposed to text in class. Well, they text me all the time in class.
Yeah. Man, this class sucks.
Oh, no, I said that to Dad.
Dad, can you pick me up and bring me some McDonald's? Something like that.
Well, anyways, if you are looking for a brick phone, it looks like it is coming your way. It'll be actually really interesting to see if they do change it at all as far as extra features, because you think a headset would be a relatively simple add. It's got the footprint.
Why do they need a headset? They can just go with Bluetooth, so might never have the ability to plug in a regular headset.
Okay, can I just distract you since you mentioned headset here? Do you mind? I was at the grocery store yesterday, and I saw someone with the AirBuds, and they looked like a complete tool walking down the aisle talking. They looked more of a tool than somebody that you see with a regular Bluetooth headset. It looked ridiculous.
Steven, AirBud is a dog. AirPods or earphones.
There's a reason I call it AirBuds, because I will not call it that other word. It's AirBuds to me from now on.
It's an AirPod, sir.
Yeah. SP, for the audio listener, you just held up. Do you have a pair of the AirPods?
AirBuds? They're not AirPods. They're just the normal AirBuds or earbuds or Apple iBuds, whatever you call these things. They came with my last iPod version 7, and I haven't taken them out of the case yet because I haven't had to use them. But the iPod Nano 7 has Bluetooth on it, and that's what I've been playing around with, the Bluetooth. And so I don't think I'll ever... in the gym anyway, go back to a corded headset, which is tough for me to say, but the reason why I want the 3.5 millimeter jack is all the podcast gear that I've bought that has the 3.5, like the iRig Pre and stuff. I'm like, come on, guys, you're killing me. You're killing me.
That's what the dongles are for. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm. They're going back.
I bet you the iPhone 8 won't even have a dongle.
Yeah, who knows? Going back a sec, though, to Bluetooth on the Nokia brick phones. In today's world, they kind of have to put Bluetooth on it because there's all the rules about distracted driving here in the United States, where you can't hold, like in the state of West Virginia, a phone up to the side of your head. You'll get pulled over and ticketed. You have to have hands-free kits.
That's true.
Plus, if you do that, you'll drive yourself into the side of a mountain.
Not because necessarily.
You won't be able to steer.
No.
You won't be able to steer.
Because I'm able to play Pokemon Go without watching the road.
That's a lie, because they patched it so you can't. That's a lie.
And I don't play Pokemon Go. I don't know the last time that I opened it up was, but... anyways, let's move on to the next news point, which is some very... it's disappointing news, and honestly aggravating news if the rumor is true. What do you got, Chris?
So while I was out running some errands today on President's Day, I went up to my local Target. And while I was there, I went in the Nintendo section because I, like many people, are still hunting for an NES Classic. I wasn't paying much attention. There was a woman there in a red shirt resetting some of the stuff on the Nintendo display. And when I looked up, I realized, oh, that's a Nintendo rep versus an actual Target employee. So I got to chatting with her for a bit. And the conversation is twofold, but let's go with the NES Classic first, because I said, I'm really trying to find one. I go, do you have any tips for the best way to find it? She goes, they're showing up a little bit more, but she goes, here's what you need to realize. By the end of February, Nintendo has to make a decision whether they're going to continue to make these Nintendo Classics anymore. And they very well could stop making them at the end of the month, which kind of jives with some of the things that we had seen online. And she goes, honestly, at this point in time, I wouldn't be surprised if they stopped making the NES Classics at the end of the month. Kind of made a little sense to me, because if you've seen some of the rumors online, it's that they built the NES Classic out of parts they were about to just basically throw out because they were garbage, and they realized, wait, we can use these as an emulator to play NES games, and we can sell it and make some money off of it. So guys, Steven, you got an NES Classic. None of the rest of us did, and it seems like it's going to get harder and harder to find them, and I'm certainly not paying those scalper prices.
No, and I got to say, like, I know a lot of people have the not so legal versions of doing their own NES Classics. But it is, there's two things that just work really well with it. Number one is the fact that it actually does look better than the emulators that I've seen. I don't know what it is, but it does just, I guess just the expansion up to 1080, like it's still the proper pixelated the way it was, but it doesn't look like it's a stretched image per se. Like it's really hard to describe, but it looks better than the emulators I've seen. The second thing is, while the cord is ridiculously stupid on it, get yourself a couple extensions. And I have literally tried three different aftermarket controllers as the second one. I've sent two of them back. The third that I've got is actually about $8 more Canadian than the original if it was available, and it sucks compared to the original one. They did a really good job with the original controller. They really made it feel like the original Nintendo, and the buttons are right. Everything is just classic, and they nailed it. The third party controllers that I've always seen, and people will probably disagree, but the ones I've always seen that are USB or whatever into your computer, they fall just a little short. The NES Classic controller, rock solid.
She did also bring up that part of the reason why they might not be continuing, besides the fact that the parts might not exist anymore, is that, according to what she's heard, they're a pain in the butt to make.
Which is ridiculous.
It was not a simple thing. No, it's not. You can take $30 and build a Raspberry Pi that's an emulator. It's just not legal to do so. That's the thing. You could go and build an NES, SNES, N64 emulator for $40, basically, plug it into your TV and call it a day. But I don't want to go that illegal route.
No, and it does work well. I have to say, it works really well, and it has the save modes and everything. Like, it's, they did, in my opinion, they did a really good job with it. And I've been waiting for SNES Classic to come out next year, but unfortunately, if that's the truth, probably not going to happen. That's too bad.
It seems unlikely, but there was something cool that happened while I was there. Is I was talking about the Nintendo Switch and talking about how I was excited and had a pre-order, and she goes, well, do you want to see one? And I paused and I went, what do you mean? She goes, well, I've got mine with me. Nintendo already sent us ours, since we're the reps that have to talk about it. So she pulled out her bag, handed me the Nintendo Switch, and said, just don't turn it on. You can try the buttons, remove the Joy-Cons, things like that. And I said, okay. So I got to go and actually hold a Switch, play with the kickstand, pop off a Joy-Con, hold it in one hand. My hands are just slightly too big for the controllers on it, I think. So kind of glad I did get one of the Pro controllers.
So I have a question for you. I can only assume, since you actually got to hold it, and you're not allowed to turn it on, but you got to hold it, that you obviously were standing in line a month ahead of time outside of a Nintendo store, right?
Yes, that's exactly what I did. No, it's not at all what I did, but
I just, like, this is a great example. This is amazing. Like, we talked a few weeks ago about the idiot who's standing outside of a game store to get to be the first one to get it. And
I believe he's at the New York Nintendo store.
Okay, the New York Nintendo store. And I'll bet he hasn't put his hands on one yet.
I bet that is not the case either, but I did in fact get to hold a Switch. It is a very sturdy piece of hardware, looking around the case on it, things like that. I didn't see any obvious points where you're going to capture a bunch of lint or get scratches easily. It's a pretty hefty device. You got to give Nintendo credit. They can build some pretty cool devices. Now, like I said, she did tell me I wasn't allowed to turn it on, and I kind of paused and looked at her a second. I said, but we all know what the GUI looks like on it now. And she goes, I know, that wasn't supposed to happen. And have you guys heard the story of the Switch that hit the wild?
No.
Nope.
No? Oh, so this is, I'll continue the news story here a little bit. Part of the reason Nintendo doesn't want people to see the GUI is because they wanted to keep it a surprise, things like that. Well, there's a forum called NeoGAF online. There was a user there a couple days ago by the name of Hip Hop the Robot, who claimed he'd gotten a Nintendo Switch shipped to him early. A lot of people question his credibility, so he's actually the one that posted a lot of those videos that you see online now of the Nintendo Switch boot up cycle and a walkthrough of the menus and things like that. So it gave a lot of us our first look at the UI and the sounds that Nintendo's Switch makes. Yeah, Nintendo wasn't very happy about that. Hip Hop the Robot reported on NeoGAF that Nintendo tracked him down and took the Switch back without compensating him at all. And at first, when everyone heard that, they're like, oh, that's crazy. They're really punishing Hip Hop the Robot because some vendor screwed up and sent him his Switch early. Yeah, you let it develop a little bit more on the internet, then you find out that might not have been the case. He followed up with some other posts saying, not sure if I can really talk about it, but I will say Nintendo has the console back, and I'm personally not in any trouble, other than being out of console and the money I paid for it, which really sucks, and all the bills I have right now, but isn't going to be the end of the world. Again, I probably can't talk about the details, but after knowing what happened, I don't necessarily think Nintendo is wrong for wanting the console back, and the people I dealt with have been very nice and reasonable. And again, I'm not in any trouble, but didn't feel like pushing my luck to keep the video to keep the videos up. So here's what ended up happening. We eventually came out. Somebody from one of the distribution centers stole the Switch, sold it to someone. The guy that bought it originally had no idea that it was stolen. This guy sold it to Hip Hop the Robot, it seems like, and Hip Hop the Robot just thought he got his early and shared a bunch of stuff online. So Nintendo, not very happy that all this stuff leaked out, and they weren't letting their rep show it off, and I was like, well, wow, we've already seen it all online. And she kind of laughed and goes, yeah, I know, they're not happy.
So I got to say that that's really cool that she let you do that. It's obviously a weird situation for her that she's like, don't turn it on, because you know you can't see what you've already seen.
I really wanted to ask her, I was like, can I take an Instagram selfie with it? But I didn't want to push my luck and get her in trouble for letting me play with it.
I was going to say, what you should have done is distracted her. It's like, I understand that I can't turn it on, but I just dropped a $20 bill on the ground. Would you mind picking it up? I would have reimbursed you that $20,
but it's $20 Canadian, so I just still had to pay $19.50 American.
I was hoping you weren't going to realize that, but well, thanks for bringing that in, and that's awesome that you got to hold it. What I know, you said you're a little big-handed for it. What do you think it's going to be for the average Joe? Because I know you've talked a couple times about that thing with different reviews and whatnot. Do you think that it's going to be a comfortable position?
So it depends on how you're playing. I think if you're playing with the Joy-Cons latched onto the side of the Nintendo Switch, you should be all right. I didn't feel like my hands were oversized that way. I could hit everything I needed to and didn't feel like I was in the way. But where it became more problematic is when you take an individual Joy-Con off of the Nintendo Switch, and then you're trying to play with just one hand, because in some cases you can turn it horizontal and use it as a regular controller, or you'd hold a single one for the game 1-2 Switch. In that case, I felt like my hand kind of dwarfed it a little bit. So, and it's dual setup, I think I'd be okay. She didn't have one of the Joy-Con grips for me to try that. I think I'd have probably been okay that way, but I'm kind of happy I pre-ordered the Pro controller, because that's basically, for lack of a better term, an Xbox 360 controller, it looks like. So that should be the ideal layout for playing some Zelda when this thing comes out in just a little less than 2 weeks.
That's awesome. I think it's really cool that you got to hold that, and I'm a little bit more excited now. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit more excited about it.
I am too, and it's nothing too different from what happened to the people that went to all those Nintendo experiences who actually got to hold a Switch and play it. I just got to hold one. I didn't get to play any games or anything like that. I really wanted to be like, oh, can I play Zelda? And I didn't, but she did say Zelda was good.
Plus, you know,
1-2 Switch was.
Now there's really, really two important things happening on that day anyway, so there you go. My birthday is March 3rd, so there you go. That was the joke.
I have other things going on March 3rd I have to do, too, that are also important. So, spoiler like alert, work. I won't get to... Well, there's that. It's also my girlfriend and I's anniversary, so there's a lot of stuff that I won't get to do that day. So I will be playing my Nintendo Switch on the 4th of March instead of the 3rd.
It's your anniversary on the day that I was born. Interesting.
Yes, because we've been dating longer than you've been alive, which would be longer than she's been alive. Oh, my head hurts.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap up the news with a couple of quick hot picks here. Number one, you've seen the YouTube ads. You've gone to youtube.com/gonnageek and you've been like, hey, there's no ads here. Why do I subscribe to your channel? So you go off and you search for a channel that actually does put ads on there because you miss them. And when you go over to those channels, you're like, no, I didn't want the 30-second ad. I wanted the 20-second ad. So you go to hit skip and the skip is not there and you cry and you sob and then you just move back and you just move your way through. Somehow back to the Gonna Geek channel and you cry a little bit more. That's right. I got good news for you. And if you don't like those 30-second unskippable YouTube ad, next year, they will be gone. YouTube will no longer offer that option to advertisers. Now, on the flip side, they're going to still offer the 20-second unskippable, but it's 10 seconds more of your life you're going to get back. They did announce that option will be disappearing.
I can say thank you, YouTube. I wonder if 20 seconds will be too much, but I know from an advertiser's perspective, 20 seconds is not a lot of time. Matter of fact, a lot of people say for podcasting, you need to put together a 30-second promo. And even putting together a 30-second promo for a podcast is hard. I can't imagine advertisers trying to smash everything that they want to in 20 seconds. And I'm not in the marketing field, so there are definitely professionals that do that for a living and that can do that. But from a user standpoint, when I go and I'm trying to watch a video and an ad pops up, if it's a channel that I want to support, I'll actually watch the ad. But if it's not a channel that I could care less about, be like, I need to skip this. I need to skip this right now. Oh my gosh. And if it's a video that there's about 20 different ones out there, I will just skip that and go to another channel that doesn't have an ad because it's just a pain in the rear end. So 20 seconds is better than 30, but it's still long.
Or you could just get YouTube Red and have no ads.
Can't in Canada. I would probably get it. And I have to say that we like to really use the music video side of YouTube. Like if we just go ahead and we just want to put on some music and whatnot in the background, just quickly send it to Chromecast. It works really well. And I do not like the ad variation as far as volume goes too. It's really annoying.
It's just like TV ads, man.
I know, but I'm surprised they haven't switched that around yet because I know that that's there, but Canada actually has a law against it because it's not good for the consumer, and I wish YouTube would do something about it, too.
You know what works really good for playing streaming music? Alexa, big band music.
If you want, I can go get my...
Here's a station for big band music. Swing
fair
jazz.
Fair use.
Don't worry about it, guys. I shut it off.
if you want, I could get mine and show you how, because it's not released in Canada, none of those features work. Like, I could show you that. Yeah, no, I don't have that option. But for other people, yeah, it would work really well. But it's still, I'm glad to see them cutting down the 30-second, but I don't know. I kind of just want them to get rid of the unskippable ads altogether.
Get rid of the unskippable?
Get rid of the unskippable ones so that the only ad they offer is the skippable.
Skip it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right, so what else do we got for our hot picks this week? We are going to quickly tell you a little bit about some Star Wars information if you are a Star Wars-aholic.
That's right. We do have a couple Star Wars stories for you. I'll make them really short. We did talk about on this show before when they announced the title for Episode 8 as The Last Jedi. We did want to point out that Jedi can be both singular and plural. Well, it seems like we know it is now a plural meaning based off of all of the foreign movie posters that have come out for Last Jedi. It has all been pluralized on that one. So they're talking about more than just Rey, it would appear. So it could be just Rey and Luke. It could be a whole bunch of Jedi. Who knows? And another thing real quick, there is an upcoming book coming out called Star Wars Aftermath: Empire's End. It drops tomorrow as we record this. this book does reveal the fate of one of the most beloved characters from the original Star Wars, excuse me, from the prequel trilogy. The one, the only Jar Jar Binks fate is revealed. I won't spoil it right now for you guys, but if you are interested in what his fate is, it's literally like maybe two paragraphs in the book, and it's a nice little aside, but some people on the internet are pissed about it. Some people are happy.
Actually, the entire disposition of Jar Jar is not spoiled. It's just where he starts in the book. It's not necessarily what happens to him later on in the book.
And I gotta say, I very quickly after you link this to me, and we're not gonna spoil it, please, if you want to find out, Google it. I think that it's a good setup for a lot of some theories that have been out there. So there you go. It does not, in my opinion, shape the direction any further than we've really... Okay, sorry. The only thing that's changed is we now know that he didn't die, like, immediately after... What was it? Three? Was he around in three? Or was it two that he...
You don't know. He could be an LMD. They didn't say he was an LMD or not.
Look, all I know is Darth Jar Jar is not a thing. Please stop trying to make Darth Jar Jar a thing.
It could be. Could be Darth Jar Jar.
It still could happen.
No.
It still could happen.
Well, there are only two Sith. They're dead.
Until we know exactly what happened from episode 3 onward to his death, could be a thing. But that is gonna go ahead and wrap up our news, and let's just go ahead and do Steven's geeky stuff. Here we go.
There's something that has Steven's attention, so much so that he's itching to talk to you about it. What is this something? You're about to find out. This is Steven's geeky stuff.
Almost forgot that I had that. This is Steven's Geeky Stuff, and I'm here today to talk to you about another geeky product. This time it's something that you might want to listen a little closer if you do any traveling. That's right, I'm going to talk to you today about the TP-Link WR810N travel router. This is something that I've been using for a couple of months now, and I've tested it a few times and very happy with it. So I wanted to talk to you about that today. Now, what is the TP-Link WR810N travel router? Well, it's just that. It is a router that is meant to travel with. It offers a variety of different features on it, including it's got two Ethernet ports on there, which I'll tell you a little bit about in a bit. It also is very compact, so it can fit in the palm of your hand. And it also has several different operating modes. It can operate as a regular travel router, like just a regular router. It can also offer as basically a Wi-Fi extender. It can do a hotspot thing where essentially it picks up the signal and then turns your own little network in it, or basically enables your own little network that bridges on to that wireless signal. And it also will do a combination of these things through the wired ports. Now, why did I end up wanting to get this? Well, let me start off by saying that I do travel semi-regularly now for work. You've actually seen me do this show or heard me do this show on the road a couple of times. And I got tired of not having my own network on the road. And when I was on the road, I wanted to be able to basically build my own network, but also have that extra layer of security. So I looked for something. But what I really wanted to make sure I had was a way that I could plug it in wired to the hotel wired internet if needed, and also plug myself wired into that router so that if I was podcasting, I could really optimize the signal to the best of its ability. And so that's where I ended up narrowing it down to this router, because it does that. That's what those two Ethernet ports are there for, so that you can have one plugged in to the wired internet and one plugged into your laptop or your desktop if you want to haul that, whatever it is that you're trying to hook up. Now, what are some of the pros that I've had with this? Well, number one, it's compact. It really does fit in the palm of your hand. I leave it actually in my laptop bag that I take to and from work every day, just because it tucks in nicely inside my laptop bag and I don't notice it. It's really light. And then I know if I'm ever on the road, I've got it with me. The other thing too is that wired port. That's killer, because if you've ever used any Wi-Fi analyzer in any public place, you will see that it is a very, very crowded spectrum in sort of hotels and things like that. So if I do want to try to podcast on the road, I want to have something somewhat reliable. And so this way I can at least plug my laptop wired into that. And then from there, maybe it's wireless, maybe it is wired. The other thing that I got to say is the setup wizard was super easy to follow. There's a slight footnote that I'll tell you about in a minute, but the setup wizard just makes sense. As you go through the different options, you understand what you're doing, and it gives you default passwords, but it's also, on the flip side, very customizable, where it looks just like a regular router, and you can configure all sorts of different things. You can go in, of course, change your keys, you can change your firewall settings, it does it all from this tiny little router. The other thing is, I gotta say, it's stable. I've used it on several trips now, and during the trips, not once have I had to restart it. And keep in mind, when I go on the road, I'm usually there for 4 or 5 days, and it has been solid. No problems at all. As well, even when I have used it connecting basically to another wireless signal, it's stable. It worked really well for me, and I found it was a much more smooth experience than connecting to the hotel wireless directly. And the other thing as well is, I just want to say that with this router, it's very easy to find a spot within your hotel because it is so compact, but it's just got all of the, basically everything right on it. So, you know, it's not got the whole big long power brick that you have to haul along with you. It's all just like one of those fold down power jacks, or whatever you want to call it, like the power prongs. So then it's all right there, all condensed. What didn't I like about it? Well, let's start off with the first thing here, is it's a 2.4 gigahertz router only. Now, okay, is that a problem? Yes, because again, the wireless is usually very crowded everywhere. But on the flip side, if it's in your room, it's probably going to be a fairly strong signal as it is, and you won't run into many problems. That's been my experience with it. The other thing as well, I got to highlight this, the setup instructions were wrong. Told me to go to a certain IP address, and that was not the IP address that I should go to set it up. I know, I was like, why isn't this working? I can't get this working. So I went in, and I basically was able to connect to it, but then I couldn't get to the config. So I went and I looked up the network settings, and I found the, I think it was the DNS settings. I found out what that was pointing to, and then I hit that IP address, and it worked. So keep that in mind. It's a little bit maybe wrong documentation. And the other thing that I got to point out here is that when you are using this device, although it's going to be fairly strong within your room, you're also going to be a little bit limited on where you can place it, given that it is something that you've got to plug it into the outlet directly. And so you've only got so many outlets. So if you're in a big, long room and you got to put it further away to pick up that signal, that might be a bit of a problem because... you know, it's not that strong of a signal compared to a regular router. So what's up, SP? You got a question?
Yeah, I got a question, Mr. John Drew. If you take two of them, can you use it as a range extender?
You could use this as a range extender. So then you could use two of them. You could hop it off one to another. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, you could definitely do that because you're just picking up and passing along. So you could definitely do that.
So you could put one by the desk and then one in the bathroom, and then that would cover your entire room.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you were going to make a joke there, so I'm glad that you didn't. But
what no, because I know you use the bathroom all the time to text us.
Yeah, okay. Let's move along. What were my overall thoughts on this after using it for a little bit of time? Well, I'm going to say it's definitely one of the best additions that I've made to my travel bag in recent. It's been solid. It works well. It allows me to make that network, i.e. I now also toss a Chromecast in my bag because it works super well with that. It's been amazing in both modes that I've used it. I used it as a standard router where I plugged it into wired internet at one of the hotels I was in. One of the other hotels that I was in did not have wired, so I had to do it in the hotspot mode. Also worked very well. The other thing as well is I will say that assuming that this does end up lasting, it's been such a good experience for me as far as testing and basically diagnosing other people's networks. I've actually brought it down to my sister's place to help try to figure some things out there. I will absolutely buy a 5 gigahertz model when it comes down in price because it has just been a rock solid device and a great addition. So if you are looking to travel and you want to build your own network, this I can highly recommend it. It's really affordable, really small, and so far it's worked really well for me. So that's the WR810N in a nutshell. Chris, you got any questions on that for me?
Well, I'm glad you described everything there, because I think I have one very similar from TP-Link that I picked up on Newegg as a bargain deal for like $10 to toss in my travel bag next time I have to travel somewhere, but I haven't had a chance to use it yet.
Yeah, it's been really good. And, you know, I'm going to admit, when I've been on the road, I just want to unwind. I don't want to really pay too much attention to anything. So when I've got that moment to unwind, what have I been watching? Of course, I've been watching reruns of Deep Space Nine now in my hotel room on Netflix. It's awesome. I even brought me Deep Space Nine. That should be the slogan on there. You can watch Deep Space Nine.
Okay, a couple of questions then. First of all, if you set this up in your hotel room and your hotel has the roaming Wi-Fi, can you take it down to the workout room and it, would it work there?
Yes, it would work. In what context? Like, maybe I'm not understanding your question.
Sometimes in the workout room, the Wi-Fi doesn't have enough bandwidth to actually throughput like the CW app or Netflix or something like that. Would this help that?
It probably would not, because it would be hopping onto that same wireless. I see what you're saying. I thought you meant, could you just build your own little network if for some reason you wanted to be transferring between two devices while you're on the treadmill or something?
I'm so glad you brought up transferring data, because I was wondering, the USB capability, have you actually utilized that? How is the file transfer into the USB storage device?
I have not used any of the USB functions on it, because that has not been anything that I have needed. But in fact, I don't even believe that the one that I have... Oh yeah, the one that I have, I don't believe has USB on it.
Oh, so you don't have the 810N, you have the 802?
Okay, maybe... Sorry, mine does have... I lied. Mine does have USB, but I just haven't had a reason to do it. So.
Liar! Liar! Caught you in a lie.
Jeez, you're fired.
I know. It's terrible. What do I know? I don't know anything about a feature that I've never used. So there you go.
Why haven't you used it? You're reporting on it. You should have fully explored it the last time.
I don't need the USB. What has been great is, I'll tell you another data transfer example that was awesome. As you know, one of the big things that I love about the Android operating system is I'm able to pull up and transfer stuff very simply wirelessly using a variety of different apps that are available. And the most recent trip that I was on, I not only edited this show on the road, I also edited the other one that I do with some weird guy that just yammers on and on about podcasting. So I added both of those there. And of course, I wanted to transfer it to my phone so that I could preview it while I was traveling to from work and all this other stuff. And of course, it was super simple because I just already had my network going. So it was just like I was at home, and away I started to transfer through my usual routine, not having to worry a thing about security because it is firewalled. So I apologize for not knowing anything about the USB features, but maybe I'll take a look into that in the future and report back.
You do that, sir, because next month I'll probably be taking one of these with me and using my 5 terabyte drive to actually edit some podcasts.
Wow. Because
that's what I do. I take the 5 terabyte drive with me.
Mm-hmm. And Steven, yeah. I have to say, I misspoke. It wasn't TP-Link I had. I found it still in the box to go in my travel set. It is a Trendnet wireless router that I have.
Starts with a T, Trend, TP. Yeah, it's close.
That's what threw me off. I mean, basically, it's like Steven said, I wanted to have one of these to throw in my bag so I didn't have to rely on trying to hook into the Wi-Fi itself. I could hook into theirs using this and then throw my own Chromecast or Fire TV on the back of their television and not have to deal with crappy hotel cable.
Ooh, Mr. Steven, I do have one more question.
Yes.
If I was going to a hotel that only allowed like two or three devices, if you pay for the Wi-Fi speed, would this enable me to use more than two?
It absolutely would. That's a great question, and a really good use case that some people might want to know about is because your hotel network's only going to see just your router. It's not going to know that you have any devices behind that. So you actually only have to authorize one device, and then from there, everything that's connected to your router is all behind the scenes. So Don't break hotel rules. You know, we're not saying to do anything against rules here on the GunnaGeek.com show, but it will allow you to have more devices on the network
but
in
no,
theory.
You're not breaking the rules. You're only connecting one device to their Wi-Fi, and then you're connecting your devices to your Wi-Fi. Loophole, man. Loophole.
Fair
so
enough.
if you have a family with a lot of young kids and you're trying to quiet them down at night and you give one your phone, one your tablet, you got your laptop going, your wife has the same stuff going on, you're not going to break over that cap of devices just to get your kids to sleep, basically.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It'd be worth it for that alone for many, many families.
Well, thank you very much for everybody hearing me talk about this today. If you have any other questions, please do get in touch with me. And I will just say this, that if you want to know more about the USB port, ask Stargate Pioneer because he'll make sure to do the full research because he brought it up.
It'll have to be in April, but you can ask me in April.
All right, well, that is going to wrap us up for another edition of the official GunnaGeek.com show. We'll do our usual thing where we go around the table and we see what people want to promote or plug. Let's start with Stargate Pioneer.
In April 14th, April 15th, and April 16th, I will be at Indiana Comic Con with my co-host from Starling Tribune, Michelle Ely. And we will have not one, not two, but three panels on podcasting. So if you want to delve into podcasting, if you just want to see what you need to do, we'll be talking all about podcast 101 stuff. But more importantly, the specific focus of those panels will be about co-hosting, finding a co-host, hiring a co-host, working with co-hosts on your podcast. It's very similar to the Gunna Geek C2E2 panel that we did the last year, except for it's just going to be Michelle and myself, and our specific focus will be on co-hosting. So come check us out. We'll have a panel on Friday on the 14th of April from 2 to 4, on Saturday around noon time, 11:30 to 12:30, I believe, and Sunday, the 16th of April from 11 to 12. So come check us out at the Indiana Comic Con at Indianapolis, Indiana.
That's awesome. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And if anybody is around there, make sure you show up and tell SP that you think that he is golden.
That's right. And make sure you come up and say hi to me. I'll be around after the panels, maybe a little bit before the panel, but I want to meet you. So come and shake my hand. Don't think, oh, it's the Golden Stargate Pioneer. I can't speak to him. Yeah, go ahead. Speak to me. Everybody else does.
Except me. He's got a restraining order where
that's because you're a liar. We've already established that in this podcast.
That's true. Chris, you got anything that you want to plug or promote?
I'd just like to suggest folks head on over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com and check out all the other awesome shows that make up this network. We've got 19 different shows and a variety of different topics, and I'm sure we've got something to suit whatever your geeky tastes are.
Awesome. And I'll just take a moment here to let everybody know that okay, I might joke about it from time to time, but there is a show that SP and I do called Better Podcasting, and we like to talk all about ways that you can help make your hobby podcast better if you are a hobby podcaster. And one of the things that we've talked about on there a couple of times is what you think a hobby podcast is, because there's a big change, a big shift within the world of podcasting. And we're pulling that question for people over there. What do you think a hobby podcast is? Because some people, I think, have a bit of a negative impression of what that is. So if you are interested in giving us your take on that, please do send that in. You could just send that in to me. That's fine. Any of the ways, you know, twitter.com/StephenJohnDrew. Just go to GunnaGeek.com and find a post there that I'm part of and post. And we want to hear from you about that. But that's it's been fun getting the responses. And I just wanted to take a moment on this show here to encourage people to chime in. But that is the end of episode 181 of the official GunnaGeek.com show. I'm Stephen JohnDrew saying I like to podcast about podcasting.
I'm Chris Farrell, and I got to hold a Nintendo Switch.
I'm the Golden Stargate Pioneer, and I do a podcast about podcasting with Stephen JohnDrew.
That's an outside joke. Blah. Bye.
See you guys next week. Bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the GunnaGeek.com show. If you enjoyed it, please give us a 5-star review in iTunes or a thumbs up on YouTube. We encourage you to send your feedback by email to show@GunnaGeek.com. You can find our entire archive at GunnaGeek.com/show. And while you're there, why not check out all of the other geeky content on the Gunna Geek Network? Want to chime into our live chat? Join us Mondays at 8:45 p.m. Eastern at www.geeks.live. The music heard on this show is by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com. This show was produced and edited by Stephen John Drew of Gunna Geek Productions. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.